Welcome back to Understanding VC. I am your host, Rahul. Passthrough, a startup that makes it simple for fund managers and fintechs to manage their investment onboarding process, just raised their Series A. And today I'll be talking to the CEO and co-founder, Tim Flannery, about Passthrough, the progress that they've made so far, and how they successfully raised their Series A round. Now let's get to it. Hi, Tim. Thank you so much for joining me today. And congrats on your Series A fundraise.
Thank you. Yeah.
So first of all, I'd like to know, what is Passthrough and what is the problem that you guys are solving?
Yeah, Passthrough automates fund workflows. And we do that really around investor onboarding. And so practically what that means is, if you were to go out and invest into a private equity fund or a venture fund today, for the most part, you're getting a 50-100 page document with 100, 200 questions on it, and not all of these questions apply to you. And for you to fill this out is going to take you hours or days or perhaps weeks, and you're probably going to fill it out incorrectly. And so every time you invest into this fund, it becomes a really painful process for you as an investor, but also on the fund manager side, because they're trying to get all of their investors to work towards a close. And so what we did is we built something that takes any subscription document, which is the form that you fill out to invest in these funds, and we make it really simple. It's one question at a time, but it's only the questions that are relevant to you. And so that way you can't have an incomplete document or an overcomplete document. You're not getting confused by things that definitely don't apply. And then on the fund manager side, we've given them all these tools to understand where all of their investors are in the raise, how to actually coordinate their law firm, their fund admin, their compliance team, their tax team, and then finally how to get the data out. And so from that perspective, we can help them plug into whatever systems it is that they'd like, be it their CRM or their investor portal. And on the investor side, that data is structured. So the next time you come into a fund, regardless of who that fund manager is, you have a persistent profile, so that your next investment becomes hopefully something that feels a lot more like one-click checkout instead of what you've been doing.
Oh, that is interesting. So this is similar to, let's say, if you're trying to buy crypto and Coinbase or something, you fill out the KYC form. It's similar to that, right?
Yeah.
So once an investor fills up a form for a particular fund, let's say, then he can take that profile and apply to a different fund that he's investing in. That's what you said, right? How does that
work?
Yeah,
totally. The challenge is that every fund has their own documents. Yeah. And so people ask different questions and they're all looking for the same answers. And so the technical thing that we do that's a little bit difficult is we understand that the question, what's the investor's name and what is the subscriber's name, both actually just have the answer of legal entity name. And so we've asked 36,000 questions and we've identified 800 data points that are reusable across any fund that you come into. And today we're live with 218 of them. So that way, yeah, the next time you come through with any fund, it's confirm, and then DocuSign.
Cool. But yeah, I mean, this should be like an easy product. What more do you offer besides just onboarding guidance or workflow?
So right now, for the most part, what people do is they're going out and they're building their own investor portal, their own fund admin, their own law firm, their own whatever it might be. And so they have this problem of, we need to onboard our new customers and we need to run through implementations quickly, so that we can get to do whatever it is that makes us actual money. And so what happens is, you as an investor, you have a profile with, let's say you're in the venture ecosystem, Carta and AngelList and Cooley and Gunderson and everybody else. And so everybody's got your data, but only works within their very narrow silo. And so what we do is, if you think about everything that a fund manager needs to accomplish in their life, they need to go market to investors, convince them to invest, onboard them. That's us. And then they need to do capital calls and distributions and financial reporting and audit and tax. None of that's us. The only thing we do is we handle investor onboarding, and we handle it through whichever way you need it to be done. So if that means that a fund manager is using us directly, great. But it also means that we can plug into any investor portal and any CRM, so that the next time that somebody's building in this space, they don't need to go solve investor onboarding, because in fact, we've already solved it. And so we're really tightly focused on that. Investor onboarding for us means electronic subscription documents, but it also means KYC AML. And so it's structuring the beneficial owners. It's mapping them on behalf of the investor to then screen them against sanctions lists and politically exposed persons, et cetera. And then giving the fund manager or the fintech that's building on top of us case management tools.
Yeah. So how much progress have you guys made?
Yeah. So when about a year and a half ago, we were three of us and we had about 50 customers, and today we are 28 of us and we have about 250 customers. And so it started off where we were working with 50, 100, $200 million venture funds. Today we're working with $100 billion plus global asset managers and a number of fintechs that are building on top of us as well.
Yeah. And you guys worked in Carta before, right?
Yeah. So we got to know this problem when we were building up Carta's investor services team because we were onboarding new clients left and right. So the way that we would onboard clients is instead of us getting the data in structured form, somebody would hand us a PDF and we'd have to try to decipher their handwriting. And that means that we would make all sorts of errors. And it means that it would take us way too much time and nobody paid us for it. And so that's how we first got to know investor onboarding as a problem was by actually onboarding our clients. And so our experience scaling Carta's investor services group and also seeing some of the lessons that we learned from the other side of the business with cap tables give us a lot of insights on what to do for an investor onboarding solution.
Nice. And where do you imagine taking this? You know, you would still just focus on this and how can this become like a large business?
Yeah. So first of all, fund closing is investor onboarding is larger than people give it credit for. Back in the early days of Carta, everybody thought cap tables were a tiny business. And now they're doing hundreds of millions of dollars on it, is my guess. And so that's the first thing. And we think that fund closing is by itself a multi-hundred million dollar opportunity. And so our goal is to go out, be the default fund closing provider. So that way, no matter how you're investing into a fund, if you're doing it through Angelist or Carta, or really the next version of Angelist or Carta, or if you're a fund manager directly, that we are the default fund closing tool. That means practically that if your investors get an email to go invest into a fund and that doesn't get powered by pass-through, they're going to reach out to you and say, why? What are we doing? Yeah. And so there's a really fun opportunity then where for all those investors, once they do come on board, where we think that there's an opportunity to eventually serve them products because it's hard to actually map out who all these people are and to build the transaction rails because right now, all this information is all over the place. It's impossible to actually even understand what you own and what it's worth in the private markets today. And so we think we have a shot at that one day in the future.
Okay. So are there competitors operating in your space right now? And how
so do you... The vast majority of folks today have never used an electronic onboarding subscription process for KYC AML. Like they've been diagramming it on a whiteboard for subdocs. They've been sending out PDFs. And so this is this big wide open green space. Electronic subdocs were a curiosity 2 years ago. And I think 2 years from now, people won't even believe that anybody ever used paper for subscription documents. And so the timing is pretty good for us. So pen and paper has been the biggest thing, but that's just going away because that's the way the market's moving. There are a bunch of vertically integrated providers too. And so Carta is an example of that. And so is AngelList and Cooley and Vanilla and Kirkland and Ellis. These law firms and these fund admins that have gone out and they've built solutions because they want to make it easier to onboard customers. And so it works great, especially if you're in their ecosystem. But if you're not at their ecosystem, or if you're across many ecosystems because you're an institutional manager, then it doesn't really solve the problem. And it doesn't solve the problem for the investor who has their profiles all over the place. We do have direct competitors too. And so we have groups like Anduin and Subscribe that are very good groups at going out and building custom subscription documents. I think we have a very different design inspiration with what we're doing. It really is about how quickly we can get people in and out. And we're not a destination, we're a transaction place. And I think ultimately we might have some different goals for some of the things that we want to accomplish. But at the end of the day, they're also some pretty good providers as well. But really our focus is just solving investor onboarding wherever it happens, and that's it. So we partner with all of the other investor portals, CRMs, whatever it may be, and it becomes kind of a nice harmonious play.
So I guess the differentiation then becomes the ability to plug into the rest of the stack.
And the fact that we don't have ambitions to go and take over other parts of the stack, I think. So we're never going to be an investor portal. We're never going to be a CRM. We're never going to be a fund admin. And so that allows us to, whether you're part of the group that's vertically integrated or part of the group that's competing directly, we can play nice with everybody. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. Okay. So when it comes to people who are backing you in this round, and also the previous rounds, right? Who are they and why did you choose to work with them?
Yeah, so the group that originally came on board for us was Positive Sum. And so Patrick O'Shaughnessy and Sam Cates. And with them, the reason that we went with them originally was because Patrick had this podcast called Invest Like the Best, which had really great distribution for us. And then Sam, what I'd heard about Sam from other founders was he was one of the most helpful people that anybody had actually worked with. And so we were super excited to work with them on the seed round. And now we've had a chance to be in the trenches with them for some time. And we went out to market for the Series A. And we had an option of working directly with Positive Sum, having them lead, co-lead, participate, that they were extremely flexible partners. And so we went out to market and we had a number of people who came back with term sheets. But ultimately, for a variety of reasons, we liked the best syndicate possible was another positive sum led round. And so they got us to here and we were excited to keep dancing with them. They've been great partners.
Yeah. And when it comes to fundraising, especially now, how difficult was that?
Yeah. So fundraising for the seed round was not the most difficult thing. I did it when the markets were a little bit warmer than they were now. And so that was relatively fast and we were able to, it was really just the three founders. We didn't have anything else that was going on. And so we were able to get moving pretty quickly. The Series A definitely took longer. We went out and initially we actually got pulled forward in some conversations, a larger group that we got to the finish line and ultimately decided that partner wasn't for us. And once we realized that wasn't the case, that we actually should run a fundraising process. If it took us 2 months from start to finish last time, it took us about six-ish months this time. And I think it was really about going out and there's a different bar for Series A. And besides there being a different bar for Series A, there's a lot of different diligence materials. And this is our first time going out and building a company too. So we got to learn about a lot of that along the way. Yeah. We did do something different. The one thing that we did different was we wrote a memo instead of writing a deck. We're not very good at deck design. We are pretty good writers. And so we decided to lean into that. And I think that was generally well received. In one of the areas of the deck, we actually wrote out why you shouldn't invest. So we did the same thing for our seed round. We knew that investors were going to have a conversation about what our perceived weaknesses were. And the question was, were they going to do it when we were in the room or not? And so by putting it directly in the memo and saying, hey, these are the risks. These are the things that you could take a look at and be credibly concerned about for our business. Let's have this discussion together. And so for some people, it filtered them out. For other people, they said, okay, I understand it. And I'm willing to underwrite that risk. Yeah. And so ultimately that was an awesome thing.
And also writing memos. I think as a couple of other startups that I've talked to have this, you know, they build up this Notion document with everything that's required for an investor ready. In a sense, like, you know, if they're building out an API documentation and everything else, then it becomes a discussion where you can pull up whatever information that the investor wants immediately.
It forces you to have a better understanding of what's going on with your business. Because when you're putting stuff down in writing, you just really need to be crystal clear about the position you're taking and why you're taking it. And so for us, it's as managers of the business, it's a really effective tool to make sure that we're all on the same page for what we're doing. And thankfully, we've been incredibly consistent from the seed round to today. But it's also helpful in conveying that message. And I also think it conveys a depth of understanding too when we're talking to partners about investment.
Yeah. And you mentioned about the bar being a little higher when it comes to Series A. So how so? I would be curious to know.
Well, so I think what I'm trying to think of the best way to do this. I've never gone out and raised a Series A before, so I can't really say here's what happened last time and here's what happened this time. I think that earlier in the year, earlier in 2022 and at the end of 2021 is really when it started to turn, where it was about the trajectory and less about where you were at the current moment. And so you could go out and you could put together a really large Series A without having things that were traditional Series A numbers, like whatever millions in ARR and whatever percent growth in headcount. And it changed a lot to, okay, well, if we give you money, how are you actually going to thoughtfully grow this business? And you need to have shown us that you've thoughtfully grown the business in the past. And so there was something about financial discipline that was a part of it. And one of the big things that came out of it for us was, okay, well, we knew we had some plans for what to do with it, but we actually had to build a really robust model. And that model is actually how we operate our business on a day-to-day basis. And so we can see every lever to see what works and what doesn't work. And so I think that's really the big thing. Before, the trajectory would have been fine. And now the trajectory, you need to have more proof points to get there. And you also needed to have, you needed to be able to show that you weren't just spending your cash and were at risk of going out of business because nobody was certain what the next fundraising round was going to look like or when it was going to be. And so for us, that was part of our plan, is we wanted to be able to go out and control our own destiny with this round.
Yeah. Are you guys profitable now or?
We are not, but that is one of the goals.
Okay. Was that a question or was there a path to profitability that you had to show to investors?
So investors weren't overly focused on were we profitable today. And I don't even know that they were they were completely focused on, did we want to be profitable in the near term? We decided that that is the path we wanted to go. However, I'm not sure that that was a requirement.
Okay. And how did you plan on organize this? Was it just you doing it?
No, it was a team. So it was my partner, Ben, and I. So I've got three co-founders. So there's three of us co-founders, myself, Ben, and Alex. Alex and Ben also worked at Carta with me. Alex was the head of engineering. He's our CTO. Ben was an operations and product leader. He's our COO. And so Ben and I did a lot of the work together on going out to market. And so typically we'd go out and maybe I'd have the initial call or maybe Ben would join. And then what we found is that for some people, they lined up way better on talking to me. And for some people, they lined up way better on talking to Ben. And so it was a little bit of a ham and egg. We happened to have some different styles and those styles resonate with different investors.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Thank you once again for taking the time to do this and good luck with Pastro. Hope you guys become a big company like Carta in the future.
Me too. Thanks a lot for having me on. I really appreciate it.